From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A group of Juneau residents who want to limit cruise ship traffic in town didn't get enough signatures to advance their proposed ballot initiatives. The group, led by Carla Hart, held a press conference this morning after meeting with the city clerk.
We have submitted a letter to the assembly that we will not be submitting the petitions. While we got a substantial number of signatures, we didn't meet the target to get onto the ballot.
Over the last 30 days, Hart and her group, Juneau Cruise Control, needed to collect about 3,000 signatures of qualified local voters for each of the proposed amendments to the city and borough of Juneau's charter. If the group had gotten enough signatures, Juneau voters would have been asked to consider banning cruise ships between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. on Saturdays, and then, beginning in 2026, ban cruise ships over a certain size. Hart wouldn't say how many signatures the group managed to collect, but she said a number of factors made signature gathering challenging, including the pandemic, the rainy cold weather, and a counter campaign from a group called Protect Juneau's Future. The letter Hart's group submitted asks the Juneau Assembly to impose some limits and for the cruise ship companies and tour operators to voluntarily limit their impacts.
We're going to give the city the chance and the industry to do the right thing. Okay. And if they don't, we'll be back. Well, we're not going away at all. We'll be around.
Laura Martinson is a downtown gift shop owner and co-chair of Protect Juneau's Future, which ran the Don't Sign campaign against the ballot initiatives. She says her group was overwhelmed with gratitude.
I don't think any of us expected this kind of groundswell of unity across the community, and we really heard the resounding voices of stakeholders far and wide.
Martinson says that includes local business owners, employees, native corporations, unions, and citizens without tourism ties concerned about a sustainable future for Juneau. City codes may bar Juneau Cruise Control from trying ballot initiatives again for at least 6 months. Hart says that's fine by her. In other news, most visitors to Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve in Gustavus visit by cruise ship. Last year, none of those tourists came. That erased more than half of the park's operating budget. And as Claire Strumpel reports for Alaska's Energy Desk, it's poised for another lean year.
Usually, a couple big cruise ships would be dwarfing charter boats in Bartlett Cove on a summer day. But not today. Cruise ships aren't scheduled to return until late July. Cruise visitors provide nearly 70% of the park's revenue. And after a year without them, park director Philip Hoogie says there are moths flying out of his checkbook.
We're going to squeeze by, you know, we're going to squeeze by without having anybody laid off or anything. And so I can sleep at night.
Luckily, Hoogie was saving up money for some big projects and purchases. When cruise ships stopped coming, he spent it on employee salaries instead. Those savings will also offset this summer's slim season.
If we hadn't had that reserve, you know, we would have, it would have been pretty financial disaster. And if it were to continue for another year for some, you know, God forbid, we would have to take dramatic and drastic steps here.
Spending the savings reserve means postponing two big expenditures: a series of projects to encourage long-stay tourism in Gustavus, and a seagoing boat to patrol the park's waters. Hoogie says Glacier Bay is the only marine park of its kind that doesn't have one. Hoogie says it will take years to build back the park's savings. And while there were no layoffs due to COVID-19, there was a crucial group of park employees that didn't get rehired: seasonal rangers. They have a special job because cruise tourists don't get off the boats when they sail into Glacier Bay. The rangers get on instead.
The rangers come out in the morning. They get off onto the boat. They get on the intercom system. The casino closes down. The shops, you know, we talk about the natural history for 12 hours as people are in here.
It's a job that requires special expertise, knowledge, and storytelling skills. Some of those seasonal workers have been with the park over 20 years. The job has a nearly 100% retention rate. Hoogie says it will be really hard to replace some of the veteran rangers that have had to move on.
was hard to ever plan for something like what we've seen here, which was 100% decline in the cruise industry, and then for it to go on to most of 2 years. And that has been a kind of a severe financial strain.
The shortfall is a reversal for the park, whose income is usually recession-proof. That's because Glacier Bay has a unique funding structure among national parks. Most parks' revenue comes from congressional appropriations, federal money. Glacier Bay gets most of its money from cruise ship companies. In lean years, when Congress appropriates fewer dollars to national parks, the cruise industry buoys Glacier Bay's earnings. When cruise ships arrive in June, there will be rangers, but fewer of them. The park only anticipates being able to hire back a third of the seasonal workforce, even though the end of the season is likely to be full.
It's going to be skeleton crews. At the same time, it looks like it's going to be a full house. So we're kind of buckling our seatbelt, and it's probably not going to be the level of service that we are wanting. But also, I think the public is pent up demand, and they're going to be happy to just be outside. And so I think it will all work out in a positive way.
The season will be late and short, but Hoogie says he'd be surprised if 2022 wasn't robust. Even if it isn't, he says Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve only needs to make half its usual income to make it. Reporting in Gustavus, I'm Claire Strempel for Alaska's Energy Desk.
For years, a small American flag was all that marked the grave of George Fox. KNBA's Trip Krause learns more about the Unalaska soldier killed during World War II.
Every year, Anunga elder Gertrude Savarni visits the Russian Orthodox Cemetery in Unalaska and puts a tiny U.S. flag on an unmarked grave. The grave is for her childhood friend, George Fox, who died during World War II.
It is very powerful that Gertrude Savarni remembered him and has taken the time to honor him every Memorial Day to go up to his gravesite and to place a United States flag on his grave.
That's Michael Livingston, a cultural heritage specialist with the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Livingston worked with others to get a grave marker for the World War II soldier.
Here we are about 77 years later, and he hasn't, his sacrifice was basically gone, almost gone. You know, had it not been for Gertrude Savarni, he would have been completely forgotten.
Fox was born in 1920 on Unga Island, off the Alaska Peninsula, about 250 miles northeast of Unalaska. He joined the U.S. Army in January of 1941 and served in the military police during World War II. The German occupation of Rome began in September 1943, and Allied forces led an offensive campaign that would eventually capture the Italian city. Fox was killed in action in Ardea, Rome, Italy, just 3 days before the American forces took possession of the city on June 4, 1944. He's the only known Aleut Anunga soldier killed in action during World War II. When Fox's body returned to Unalaska, Livingston said his funeral service was at the Russian Orthodox Church, but he never received a marker. Fox's grave has been unmarked for more than 70 years, and his name is missing from World War II killed in action memorials in Alaska.
We really don't know why his grave was not marked. Times were different back in the 1940s. There was basically open-faced racism against people of color, including soldiers of color. And so that might have been a play in it, too.
Livingston and others worked for at least 5 years to get Fox a marker. They managed to get some records from the National Archives and applied for one.
And we submitted many requests to different federal agencies asking for George Fox's military records, and we'd never hear anything back on those requests. And we were just spinning our wheels. And finally, we were able to enlist the help of United States Senator Dan Sullivan. And since Senator Sullivan's office got involved and has helped us in the project, we have finally able to get some resolution from the Veterans Affairs.
This May, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs approved the order of a gravestone for Fox.
We're just grateful that the stone is being ordered and that hopefully it'll arrive in Alaska soon.
Livingston estimates the stone will arrive about mid-July, and so this will likely be the last Memorial Day without a marker for George Fox's grave, besides a small U.S. flag from a friend. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
In other news, authorities in Metlakatla reported the community's third COVID-19-related death on Tuesday evening. They did not identify the victim. It's Metlakatla's second COVID-19 death reported in 8 days. The state's sole Alaska Native Reserve has reported nearly 50 coronavirus cases. For more on this and other news stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.